I think one of the hardest things to reconcile about narcissists is the fact that there are days when they aren't abusing you. There are days when they are nice people. They have good moments. They say and do the right things. They make you feel amazing sometimes, almost like they're normal and you're in a normal, healthy relationship. People like them. People think they're nice people. It makes it very difficult sometimes to figure out that you're actually being abused. This is why so many of us are confused about this. You know, not only is this confusing, but it gives you unfair, unrealistic hope. With unfair and unrealistic hope comes you staying when you should go, or you going back when you should stay gone. So the next time you're dealing with an abuser who's having a good day, remember who they are. Remember they're still an abuser. What are your thoughts? Let me know.
Absolutely relate to that feeling of being just completely alone in a room full of one or more people. When I was with a narcissist, it was the constant feeling. Even just growing up with one, I never really felt like I belonged in any specific space with any specific people. If I'm being honest, I don't always feel that way today, except when I'm around a lot of survivors. So,
what is the appeal of the narcissist to the flying monkeys?
There are two types of flying monkeys. The ones who know what's happening and are actively helping to manipulate you, and the other ones who don't know and who genuinely care. So those who don't know and genuinely care, you can't blame those ones as much, right? Because those are the ones who, like, the narcissist tells a bunch of lies about you and they worry and they come check on you, whatever. They're still doing the narcissist's bidding, but they're not doing it on purpose. The ones who are doing it willingly, they're usually people who are in a similar type of relationship. Now, it might not be a sexual or a romantic relationship, but it's a relationship where they feel some sense of obligation to the narcissist, very much how you would feel during the relationship. They have a toxic relationship with that person, and often they just want to make that person happy, and so they'll do whatever they can to make them happy, including manipulate and hurt you. I hope that helps a little bit. Just for the record, if you have left a narcissist or you have reacted to a narcissist's behavior, and now you're questioning yourself and doubting yourself, you're not wrong. You didn't overreact. You weren't being crazy. You didn't misunderstand anything. You saw what you saw. You heard what you heard. You knew what you knew. Trust yourself. Stop feeling guilty. Stop doubting yourself. You gave them more chances than they deserved. Even though it doesn't feel like it right now, one day you're going to look back at this moment and this time in your life and you're going to realize it's a blessing. It's a good thing. Consider this your sign that if you haven't yet, it's time to move on. And if you already have, well, good for you. Hello?
Yeah, hi. This is Susie. I'm dating your ex.
You're dating Narco?
He's such a sweet guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. How long have you guys been together?
I mean, we've been dating for like 3 weeks. He's just perfect.
How can I help you, Susie?
He says you won't divorce him, but I really want to marry him. So can we work something out?
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. I'll divorce him. Tell him to go ahead and sign the papers I sent over. Okay.
You sent over papers?
Yes, I sent them weeks ago. Could you please ask him to sign them for me?
I gotta go. Narco!
Cherry on top of the gaslighting Sunday is then the gaslighter portrays himself as the only one that loves, accepts, and will protect the victim. Therefore, the victim has taken on a psychological problem or disorder, feeling broken, unlovable, and encouraged to isolate, and then picking the person that has designed the whole plan, and then no one in their outside world, friends, family, or loved ones, can get them to try to bring them back to reality. And therefore, they are trapped, sometimes forever trapped, by the scheming, sociopathic, gaslighting narcissist.
Things narcissists say early in a relationship. Where have you been all my life? You're freaking perfect. I'm only tipping 1% because that waiter was terrible. My ex is crazy. Completely insane. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I love you. Are you my soulmate? Of course I was rude to that person. They're beneath me. I like literally want to spend every minute of my day with you. Can you just stay one more day? Why didn't you text me back? My crazy ex is obsessed with me. You can't believe anything they say. What do you mean you don't love me yet? I told you you're my soulmate. Seriously, I think I've been waiting for you since the moment I was born. I told you that my ex never texted me back and they were always cheating on me when they did that. Poor me. I like everything you like. What do you mean? How is it possible that we both like all of the same things? Any of that sound familiar to you? Let me know.
Feel like you've never fit in, it's because you're not meant to. You're meant to lead. Honey, leaders aren't meant to fit in a box. They are meant to be unique and free-spirited, just like you.
Gaslighting is a manipulative, systematically perpetrated strategy that pathological narcissists use in order to control and often hurt their victims. They do that by instilling a narrative, implanting a narrative about a person that something is wrong with them when nothing was, or something is very wrong with them with a problem they had that was originally mild. While by systematically manipulating the environment to prove their narrative, their victim eventually recognizes this fake narrative and identifies with the problem. As the gaslighter manipulates them to identify with the problem, he then builds a narrative that they are needy, unlikable, and would do better if they isolate.
There might actually be something to seeing being a healing thing for you. See, there's this theory called the polyvagal theory Dr. Stephen Porges created. And basically the theory says that the vagus nerve, which is connected to most of the organs in your system, when it has lost tone related to trauma and other things, you kind of feel like crap and you feel miserable and terrible and all the trauma symptoms are there. But when the vagus nerve can be stimulated, well, then you can relieve those symptoms. And one way to stimulate it is to sing or hum. Use those throat muscles. So I thought I'd share it with you. Hope it helps. If you ever heard of this, let me know. When you were raised by a narcissist, very often you suffer many effects as an adult. It almost never feels like it quite goes away. But there's something you can do, and it's called reparenting. Listen to what Dr. Robin Breiman has to say about how to reparent yourself. It's good stuff.
So one thing I do recommend, I always talk about partnering with yourself, but people sometimes have a hard time understanding that. So I say, be your own best mommy or be your own best daddy and talk to yourself, let's say your inner child, talk to this inner child like you would being your ideal parent. Be kind, supportive, calm, and help yourself cope, right? And take your mommy and daddy with you wherever you go. You're the adult now and you have to take care of your own needs, and you can do it.
First they give you butterflies, then mental trauma.
Hey besties, time for the daily ew. The moment that you put a stop to people disrespecting you or taking advantage of you is the moment they start to define you as difficult, crazy, or selfish. It's like manipulators hate boundaries.
Relationship begins just like any other, with the standard phases of initial attraction, infatuation, and eventually falling in love. But what type of person does a narcissist actually go for? Well, there's no one single type that a narcissist typically goes for, technically. I mean, there are no parallels to be drawn among the partners of narcissists if we're talking about height, weight, eye color, race, or any other physical or cultural characteristic. While there seems to be no ideal or standard mate, friend, spouse, etc. for a narcissist, there are certain similarities about the relationships that we can point out, certain parallels. For example, the narcissist typically begins any new relationship with sort of a honeymoon period, during which everything seems perfect, almost too good to be true. Living in a relationship with a narcissist can be everything from exciting and exhilarating to soul-sucking and traumatic. You might compare it to a type of emotional roller coaster.
Don't cry, because it won't help. Have you heard that one before?
Actually, I have. And as you so eloquently stated in your video, that's wrong. Research tells us that not only does crying help you with soothing yourself, helping you feel better emotionally, but it actually has some other benefits. When you do cry those emotional tears, you actually release oxytocin and endorphins, which are feel-good chemicals your body naturally produces. Those chemicals not only help you feel better emotionally in short time, but they also actually help you feel physically better. They take away physical pain, very much like taking a Tylenol takes away physical pain. As a matter of fact, they say that when you take a Tylenol, you can also relieve emotional pain. What are your thoughts about all this? Did you know this? Let me know. And hey, by the way, cry if you need to cry. It's okay.
Gaslighting is a manipulative ploy used by pathological narcissists who have sociopathic traits. In other words, they know what they're doing. They're not the garden variety narcissist who's oblivious to their narcissism. Gaslighting.
you've ever been interested in knowing exactly what it might look like if a flying monkey was engaging in your relationships, I've got something for you today. It's a situation where this person sent a family member of the husband a video of his abuse. And instead of saying, oh my God, I'm so sorry that's happening to you, this mother trucker says, why were you filming? As though somehow that's invading the brother's privacy, or why would you be filming while he's abusing? I don't know. But ultimately what I see here is a generational thing, right? So you see two brothers in the same family, and instead of acknowledging the abuse and supporting his brother's wife, he chooses to blame her for doing the recording. That's a straight up flying monkey. Have you experienced something like this? And could you look back in their family situation and see how the flying monkey may have developed? It's really unacceptable. Let me know your thoughts. Phrases that narcissists use to gaslight you. I never said that. What are you talking about? Excuse me, but you're overreacting again. Aren't you being a little dramatic? Do you hear yourself? You need help. I'm not sure why you'd think that. What does that say about you as a person? I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's not really my problem. I'm not responsible for your feelings. I was just joking. Do you have no sense of humor? If you keep acting so jealous, I'm going to give you a reason to be so jealous. Why are you so insecure? I never said that. You took that wrong. That's not how I meant it. You're crazy. What is wrong with you? Any of those sound familiar? What would you add? Let me know. I don't just listen to your words. Sometimes all you have to do is just walk into a room and I can read your energy just because I feel it. Sometimes when you're feeling angry or upset, I can barely breathe. I watch your face. I can tell a lot by the way you hold your mouth. I know what you're saying and what you're not saying. I can tell what your silence means. I watch your body language. I can tell how you feel or what you're thinking about or just your general mood based on the way you're holding your shoulders, the way you're holding yourself in general, the way you're standing or sitting. Maybe you want to call me an empath or maybe you want to call me something else. I'm not psychic. I'm just a survivor of narcissistic abuse. The truth is that a lot of trauma victims end up with these skills, and we do call ourselves empaths many times. Growing up, I assumed I learned these things because it helped me stay safe. As an adult, I like to say I'm an empath. It feels better than saying I'm an abuse victim. What are your thoughts about all this?